Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Coach Kelly.
She's back.
Yay! I want to sleep here. Just make sure I'm not missed again.
Oh my gosh, you had such a crazy week last week. I feel so bad for you.
Crazy. I had a funeral. I flew back to the East Coast, and then I flew back, and the next day we had planned a family ski trip, so I was out with my family. So it was nuts. And then my son got the flu. My husband got the flu. So it was kind of nuts.
Oh my, and you didn't get to ski.
I didn't get to ski. I snowshoed with my mom, but yeah, I didn't even get to ski. So it was a tough week.
What is snowshoeing like? Is that where you kind of go lateral slide, right? You don't, there's
it's
no
just
hills.
Basically like hiking up a hill.
Oh, okay.
In like, you know, hiking boots and these little like, it's hard to explain. They're like maybe about 3 feet, these little shoes that you wear that kind of help you dig into the snow. So it's a good workout. It's really aerobic. It's great. And then I get really cold. So it's good to kind of do something, you know, active out there where you're just constantly moving versus skiing. You know, when you get on the lift, I'm like freezing my ass off. Like I'm like dying. So this is good just to keep going.
I still love the downhill rush. So
I know. It is good. I like that, too. It's true.
But I imagine someday I'll want to retire my skis and do something else in the snow.
You could do both. I mean, that's the nice thing because it's like I think it's different muscles. It works everything. So
true, true. Well, welcome back. I did miss you. We had a good show last week, though. We definitely covered what you and I were going to cover. We talked about perfectionism and expectations. So we're having a good show today because we have a couple of leftover emails from
last week. Great.
And then we also have a new topic today, if we can get into that too, about getting over past relationships.
I love this topic.
Oh,
yeah, that's
we've
very
all
tough.
Had them, haven't we?
Yes, and it's not easy.
It is not easy. So you are on with Dr. Debra and Coach Kelly. We want to give you our phone number because we love your phone calls. Area code 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Or you can always email us. So I have to share for a minute because I'm really excited. Website that I've been promising is finally up.
Finally.
And it's so fun. It's just different. There's a tiger on it. And
God. I got to look it up. What's the address?
It's drdebraonline.com. drdebraonline.com.
Okay.
And I had the web designer do this thing where I have my photo comes in, the tiger's photo comes in. They're in black and white. And then I come up in color, and then the tiger's eyes light up in color.
That's
it's
so cool.
So pretty. Yeah, because my new brand is I'm the Love Warrior.
I love that.
Because I fight for people's relationships, because that's what I do in practice so much.
Oh, my God, that's so smart. And then the tiger. I love it.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It's like more like a snow leopard, I guess. It's
not, cool.
Yeah, it's really, really, really pretty.
All right, awesome.
I just
want to
give that tiger a really big kiss, and then I say, no, I really don't want to do that, because I'd like to keep
my
nose.
They look so sweet.
They do. So I kiss my kitties instead.
Oh, the little tigers.
You have some fun news, too, because you are alive in practice now. Yes.
I'm super excited. It's going really well. I started last week at the counseling center, and it's going great. I absolutely love it.
Wonderful. It's nice to get back in there, right? Get back in the sandbox with people.
I like said to my husband, I'm like, you know, should I get a briefcase? Like, it's been so long, I don't remember like how to, you know, get back in there. So it's been very great.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, so thank fun you. Stuff for both of us. Okay, so give us a call, 323-203-0815. You were telling me a story before we started that was really interesting, you know, and what do you do? This is kind of off topic, but what do you do with people who are really demanding? And then when you finally want to ask for like a return favor, let's have just a little bit of reciprocity. And then you get nothing. In fact, you were telling me, go ahead. This is great.
Oh, it's a horrible story. Oh my God. I'm sure you guys can relate. I have a friend who asked me to do a favor for her, get in her mail packages while she was away. I said, no problem. About, I don't know, a week later, she asked me to babysit her kids. I'm like, okay, no problem. Sure, I can help out. I got two kids of my own. They like to play together. And then I asked her for a favor. I was in a complete pinch. And I am the type that doesn't ask favors unless I really need it. I'm not one of those. So I really needed it. And she was like, no, I'm so sorry. And I was like, huh? Like, I couldn't even believe it because I just, you know, had done these two things for her. And so it was a really, it was an interesting sort of moment for me to realize, like, you know, not everybody kind of has the same integrity and, you know, loyalty to kind of give back. Oh, I think we're getting a call.
Wonderful.
Okay. Hi, you're on live with Coach Kelly and Dr. Deborah.
Hello?
Oh, we dropped them. We'll call back.
Come on.
Yeah, give us a call back at 323-203-0815. Don't be shy. It's okay. We're not going to bite like the like Dr. Deborah's tiger.
You know, I don't see any teeth on that tiger. I'm sure they're there, but yeah. That's not a picture of that. But so that's wild. You know, I have this model that I use with my clients of a pie.
Okay.
So you go out to lunch. Somebody you don't know very well, right? You go out to lunch and you each order... Together, you order a piece of pie.
Okay.
Right? You're maybe not that hungry that day. So you say, you know, I just ain't going to have two bites. You can have the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Friend goes, great. Check comes. You split the bill. Right? Next time you go out, have a little bit of a tummy ache. You order another piece of pie. Yeah. You're not that hungry. Mm-hmm. You give them the piece of pie.
Yes.
They get to eat it. You split the bill. Mm-hmm. Now, you do that several times. What's the expectation that's been created in this new relationship?
Right.
I get more for less. You get less for more.
Yes.
Right? So I'm the other person is getting more.
Exactly.
I'm getting less.
Yep.
But it's called equal.
Yep.
So now clearly everybody would not buy into that system. If someone did that for me, I would always in my head at least be knowing, well, this person's really giving up more than their fair share.
Yep.
I don't want to take advantage of that.
Yep.
But if you have a taker, there are takers in the world and there are givers. And takers prey upon givers.
Ugh.
So if somebody's a taker and they spotted a giver... And they set that in motion. Then when that person calls in for, in your situation, do me a favor now. I'm in dire straits here. Help me out.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? And then that person actually feels entitled and angry that you're asking for your fair share.
This is so disturbing on so many levels for me. I just can't relate to that person at all. I mean, I hear what you're saying and I'm thinking, how is that person like, how is that even like, how does that person even process that thought? Like, I just can't even imagine, but you're absolutely right.
It's probably habitual conditioning. It's probably a way that somebody grew to survive in their own world. Like, maybe there was a lot of competition in the family. Maybe somebody had a younger sister, younger brother, or older, or somebody who commanded or hogged a lot of attention. And so they're hungry and feel fearful that they're not going to get their fair share.
That makes
sense.
So
then they overcompensate and want extra.
Yep.
And then, you know, the truth is there are people who are just born greedy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they just are born with two hands out and they say, give me.
Yes,
and there are others that are more tentative and more shy, more anxious or more conscientious. And, you know, so you couple somebody who's already a bit on the entitled greedy side by temperament, then you add environment to that. Next thing you know, you've got somebody who's just basically walking around, give me. And then, I know it's tough. I don't get that. I find those people to be really difficult to deal with.
Oh my God. I mean, I was thinking to myself, like, how does the husband deal with that? Like, that must be a very one-sided relationship. I can only imagine.
Which, as you can tell by that metaphor about the pie, is that over time, if you've actually created that kind of system over many, many years, and then somebody kind of wakes up, maybe the partner had low self-esteem, didn't feel entitled to ask for their fair share, goes to therapy, feels a little bit better about themselves, says, you know what, you know, I don't want to settle for this anymore. Right. I'm doing 90% of the labor here, or I'm doing 90% of the giving. I want something back. Then you have to encounter the beast, because the partner who's been getting it all is like, what are you talking about? Exactly. I didn't offer to change the rules because you're asking me now to take less so you can have more. Ugh. The fact that it was never equal to begin with, I don't care.
Right, exactly. The dynamic totally shifts, and then the relationship, oh my God, I can only imagine. Oh, that's very tough.
That is really tough. And I certainly had my fair share of relationships with people like that, because I didn't have good self-esteem growing up at all. Mm-hmm. So somebody gave me just any kind of remote attention and or said I was pretty or I was smart. It's like, okay, I'm here. I'm in. Okay, what can I do for you?
I can so relate to that. There was a high school, I don't even want to say boyfriend. There was a guy that I would hook up with, and I was so obsessed with him. He treated me so badly. And he was, you know, in my mind, this gorgeous guy who really could do no wrong at any bit of attention. I soaked it up like a sponge. I couldn't. And it's like, I remember a friend of mine who had high self-esteem was like, Kelly, what are you doing? Like, clearly, you know, he's not treating you well. And I was like, no, but like, and I just, I don't know, like, it's funny. I couldn't see it at all from my perspective. I just saw it from his. Oh, he's got problems. And he did. He was, you know, he was just kind of like this hoodlum, you know, who just had issues. But I, you know, now I look back, I'm like, oh, I wish I could tell that girl, you know, back in high school that like, you're worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, but those are the relationships I feel like that make you grow so much as a person and look back and, you know, realize, and I feel like those are the stepping stones for good relationships, because then you realize, oh my God, I never want to be treated like that again, or I'm better than this. So I always feel like you need those type of relationships to grow. I really believe that.
Oh, so true. Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, I had certainly my fair share of dogs in in high school and junior high even. I mean, I was, because I didn't feel very good about myself, the idea of having somebody who I had in a relationship was sort of like added a step for me. You know, it's like, oh, I go up a step.
Yep.
But the truth is I picked people who were 10 steps down.
Ugh.
And then it almost became the norm. Like, I didn't even have a concept of what a healthy relationship would even look like until I got into this field and worked with so many people with dysfunctional relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a work in progress and an evolution to say, okay, I have this concept, but I don't even always behave in a healthy way. And certainly that inspires a partner to not behave in a healthy way. So at least I have a good, healthy partner now, and I'm probably, you know, pretty healthy partner myself. So at least it's always a work in progress that's getting better, as opposed to, oh, this is just the dump that chump.
Exactly. Yes. Your book. I love it. Yeah.
But anyway, so whoever just called us, call us back. And anybody call us, please, at 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. You know, I'm inspired today that if we get a caller, I'd be happy to give away one of my books.
So, oh my God, I love
for
that.
Any, caller, then afterwards, of course, we'd have to get your email. So you'd have to send us an email to let me know your contact information. But
I love that. I'm going to pretend call and to get your book.
Oh, I'll give you one anyway. So you weren't here last week, Kelly, when I had Courtney DeHarsh, which the cute little joke was, but she's not DeHarsh at all. Yes, she's very, very sweet. She was here with us from Clarity House, and we were talking about expectations and perfectionism, which is what made me think of that with your story and just expectations. I heard a saying once that I thought was really profoundly important, and it was, expectations are resentments under construction.
Oh, I like that. I heard expectations are resentments waiting to happen.
Okay.
It's same sort of thing.
Yep.
I love that, because that is so true. My meditation teacher was really big on that, and he said if we all didn't have expectations, you know, you just feel better, because it's so true. It's almost like you're setting yourself up. And if you just really have no expectations of anybody, you're kind of at peace. It's like, it's so hard to do, though.
It is, especially because, I mean, we do live in a, I would say, kind of a cooperative, collaborative society, right?
Yeah.
We do require some dependency on other people for certain of our needs to be met. We have a specialized, you know, so like when I have a computer problem, Christopher, help, because for me to do it, it would take me hours to figure it out, because it's not the way my brain works. And so he's really good at that. So I do have expectations in our relationship that he will help out in that way. But I think what makes that okay is that we discuss that. Right? We say, okay, we're making an agreement that that's your role. And my role is, if this goes wrong, I'll take care of that, because I'm really good at that.
Yes.
And so when you make agreements, I think that's a little, I think that's a more healthy expectation.
Right.
And then when somebody doesn't follow through on an agreement,
oh,
that's tough.
I have serious problems with this. Like, this is something I absolutely need to work on, because I get so disappointed when people don't follow through on an agreed upon expectation. Because I think it's, you know, it's so important for me to follow through that I just, I'm amazed when people don't have that same sort of, you know, commitment. They're just don't, you know, it's not as important to them. I'm like, how is it not important? You know, but it's true. And I mean, it just happens. You know,
it
people,
also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and people just, you know, it's not as important to them or it's not a priority. And it's hard for me to let that go sometimes. Very tough.
It seriously affects trust,
yes.
I think, right? If you make agreements with somebody and you or that other person doesn't follow through, then I don't know how you can ever have a trusting relationship because
completely.
You just can't make an agreement.
Exactly.
So then the no expectation rule applies if you actually want to have that person in your life. Not ask anything, and therefore you won't get disappointed.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's right.
And then the other piece to that saying was, and resentments are like swallowing poison and waiting for the other guy to die.
I've heard that too.
I love that one.
That's fantastic.
So true. How many people have you seen that they're still bitter about, we're going to talk about past relationships, right? The resentment about somebody having left you at a difficult time or not having paid child support or not having done this or that. And it can be so consumptive, the attachment
toxic.
To the anger about something that didn't happen.
Yep.
But the other person doesn't care.
Doesn't
like,
even
obviously,
think
if they
about
cared,
it.
They wouldn't have failed.
Completely. Ugh. Oh, and it's so hard. Yeah. I'm big on anger letters. I want to hear what you recommend. But I, you know, would tell my clients, especially with past relationships, you write a letter as if you're really writing to the person. You can curse. You can say whatever you need to say. And then it's so cathartic to burn it, to rip it up, to send it to the sea, you know,
yes.
anything. And I don't know. There's something about that sort of closure, I think, where because I think a lot of it is that that person didn't get to express what they
right.
were feeling.
I agree.
You know, so and then another exercise I love to do is like the chair, pretending that that person is in the chair.
The empty chair.
Yeah, the empty chair. That's what it is. Yeah. Exactly.
That's a gestalt therapy technique.
I love it, though,
yeah,
because it's really nice just kind of pretending. And then you feel as if you've said your piece a little bit.
Psychodrama, yeah. role playing, all those kinds of things can be so important. But more so, for at least for me, yes, I agree. But
yeah.
it's actually moving through anger as opposed to or not getting angry to begin with. Because when you look at anger as more of a secondary emotion,
yeah.
then it's really covering up some other primary emotion, such as fear or
depression.
Sadness, depression, you know, could even be covering up excitement. I mean, you know,
oh, really?
Some people have a hard time actually living in happy
oh.
that, you know, so they just are more accustomed to being angry. And
yes.
a lot of people have, or they have only two emotions, either happy or mad.
Right.
But what about sad? What about fear. I mean,
yeah.
all those are real experiences. So
yeah.
if we can use anger as a signal that something else is going on,
yep.
and that there's no reason to stay stuck in the anger, because anger, if you stay stuck in anger, in my opinion, there is no resolution. You can't actually resolve that because generally, unless the offense is occurring in the moment, then you're in
yeah.
fight, flight, or freeze response for no particular reason because it's no longer occurring.
Right.
So that's living in a past moment that isn't present. Mm-hmm. And so it's a waste of time and a waste of energy.
Sure. That's really interesting. I think that's right. I love the saying, the only way out is through. That's kind of
there
what I'm hearing for you. Yeah.
But I totally agree that if you are stuck in anger and you do, you are holding on to that, find a way to release it. Find
yes.
a way to let it go. But also ask yourself, is it reasonable to even be angry? Sometimes we put so much stock in somebody else's behavior and trying to change them instead of, okay, accept what is.
Yep.
And then move on and
exactly.
go through whatever it is that you need to go through.
Well, it's a lot easier to kind of blame somebody else than to look at your role, too, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, oh, anger can be such a deadly emotion. Obviously, it can be very helpful for survival, right?
Yes.
Sometimes we get angry because there's an actual assault or insult going on that needs to be attended to. And nobody wants to be a pushover or a doormat where people walk all over them. So, you know, using that again as like a trigger point just to be aware that it's now important to change the situation and get
right.
out of it and move through it so that it is no longer affecting you in a negative way.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
So you're listening to Dr. Debra.
I'm Coach Kelly.
And we love hearing from you. So give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. How about we get into some of these emails?
Sounds good.
Okay, I'll read the first one.
Okay.
Dr. Debra and Coach Kelly, I'm 22 years old and I really love my boyfriend. All my friends say I'm too young to be committed to just one guy. They're always setting me up and wanted me to hook up with somebody else. Sometimes when I'm stoned or a little drunk, I do make out with other guys. My boyfriend says I'm the only one for him. What should I do? I don't want to stop getting together with my friends. A bit confused.
Hmm. Interesting.
What is confusing? There's actually a couple of contradictions in the email.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, okay, I love my boyfriend. I want to be with him. Kind of, this goes a little bit with, I think, peer pressure.
I was going to say, that's completely what I saw. No, I mean, I don't want to cut you off, but yeah, that's exactly what I saw. I mean, it sounds like, you know, she sounds happy and she's getting swayed by her friends to sort of, you know, not be tied down. Maybe they're, you know, not together with somebody, and so they kind of want to have her on their team. But I see a lot of peer pressure. And I guess, I mean, my advice for this writer is you got to do what your heart says. You know, don't listen to your friends. Do what you want to do. If you feel like you're ready to commit, that's okay. You know, everybody has different timing in life. And if you're happy, that's really all that matters. What would you say?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the hooking up with other guys, kissing them when under the influence of alcohol, or I'm assuming stoned, might be pills or pot, something
yeah.
like that. But if that's a real desire that gets unleashed during that time,
sure.
and in daily waking hours of sobriety, the person has a hard time acknowledging that maybe there's a little bit of
yeah.
desire to explore other uh-huh. relationships or other people, or whether it's something else. I mean,
right.
I don't know. It's always concerning because I think sometimes people can easily fall back on that as some excuse for behavior.
Definitely.
Oh, well, it didn't mean anything because
I was
drunk. Right? But what does that really mean when you're, I mean, why did that come out then? Is
yes.
it really there? Or, you know, unless somebody is so obliterated, like absolutely
yeah.
blacked
Beyond.
Out, gone, where the brain is just so pickled, it cannot think, and you can have hallucinations and do
yeah.
all kinds of crazy things. A little bit drunk, usually most people have their senses about them still. It's
yes.
just that they're in a disinhibited state, so the inhibitions are not as active,
right?
And sometimes it's really what somebody's truth is.
Yes, it makes total sense to me. Yeah,
but I totally agree with you that I mean, if you are happy and this is the relationship for you,
then,
you know, you're young, ride it out, see
yeah,
where it goes.
Exactly,
but don't dilute it then with infidelity or
right.
you know, pressing upon the edges. I'm assuming that her boyfriend does not know
yeah.
that she occasionally kisses other guys, and
right.
I don't think there's any reason to have to knock it together with friends. I think you just make
yes.
a firm boundary with your friends and say, quit pressuring me.
Exactly.
Quit putting me to this
yeah.
this
box.
Test of, you know, I don't want to have to please you and then hurt my boyfriend just to make you happy, because otherwise they're not really true friends.
Exactly. Or on the other hand, too, I'm listening to you and it's like, if she feels like her boyfriend is smothering her and she really does want a little bit of freedom, like you said, if, you know, she's getting drunk and that's really kind of how she's feeling inside, that's the real truth, then you got to listen to that too. And just, you know, maybe you can love this guy, but not quite ready for a really serious relationship. So I just say, listen to your heart.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm with you. Give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And you're listening to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Let's do the next one.
Sure.
You got it?
Got it. Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, my girlfriend told me I had to send this to you. She listens to you and thinks you guys give great advice. When I'm with my boys, we all drink and do drugs regularly, but we also get up and function perfectly well the next day. I'm 25, so I don't see why that's any problem whatsoever. I don't think I have a drug problem or a drinking problem, but my girlfriend says sometimes I'm a mean drunk or a bad doper. So I tell her that I don't need to see her at all if I'm drinking or just having some fun drugs. She says I'm too old for all this, but I've told her I've got lots of good years of partying left in me. She's totally cool, and I want us to stay together. I don't want to have to break up or change my life. You guys are supposed to be able to tell us how to talk this out, so let me hear it. Just enjoying life.
Mm. Dump that chump.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
No, actually, I mean, I can have a lot of compassion for this guy because, you know, he is 25 and he's got stuff, but he's putting actually drugs and alcohol before a relationship. To me, that's a sign of serious immaturity.
Yes.
And just because you don't want to change your life, that's not going to help you have a good, mature, healthy relationship.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I was thinking the same thing. I mean, First of all, if I was this girl, I mean, why be with a guy who is drinking and doing drugs? I mean, I'm assuming she's probably around the same age, 25 or so. I mean, there's so many more stable guys that you could be with. I mean, I don't know. For me, I think that life is too short to, you know, be with somebody who wants to do drugs and really see no problem in that. I mean, you know, not putting their relationship a priority. So...
Also, the fact that he acknowledges that, he didn't say he acknowledges, but his girlfriend says that he's sometimes a mean drunk or
right.
a bad doper, that I wonder how serious does that become?
Absolutely.
So basically the attitude of, well, if you can't, it's almost he's saying if you can't beat him, join him. So it's like, you're not going to wear me down on this one. So either get with it and accept it or you're going to lose me.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't think that's... it's not a healthy statement. I always feel so sad for people who stay in relationships. I've done it myself many times, long term, with somebody who you just know in your gut is just not going to be the good person for you.
Completely.
You know, that one that says, well, this is who I am. If you don't like it,
then screw you.
Yeah, right? Instead of, okay, I understand. I can modify my behavior a little bit to make this relationship
work
better, right? Better, maybe a little different. It's not like asking somebody to change their personality or who they are,
right?
But that's what relationships are about, are growing together to become the best individuals and the best partners possible.
Yes. Well, I mean, in the statement he says, you know, I've still got lots of good years of partying left in me. I mean,
what does that mean?
That means he's not willing to change at all, like, you know, now or in the future, it sounds like. So I think that... I mean, it sounds like he's asking for advice, but if I were the girl, I would say, you know what? I'm so sorry. I think that you need to move on. You're worth more than this. And for the guy, I mean, obviously, you know, you're not really looking for something serious, in my opinion.
I think so, too. It's one of those cake and eat it, too. You know, I want to play over here and party over here and be single, so to speak, while I have a relationship. Oh,
I know. I think a lot of people in relationships don't realize you're a unit. Mm-hmm. You are basically working together as one. I think it's really hard for a lot of people to understand that concept. So you need to work together. It's compromise. It's, you know, figuring out, you know, how to work as a team rather than, you know, as an individual and having the other person just accept it all the time. No, I think you need to work together.
Also, interestingly, he's a 25, and at 25, generally, there is a little bit of an arc that goes on in maturity where insurance rates go down, you know, because we sort of assume that people, once they cross that 25-year-old mark, you know, post-college, they're kind of settling more into a more state of maturity.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like he's there, and depending on how many drugs and how much alcohol he's using, then it actually curtails brain development.
Oh.
So maturation slows down.
Yes.
And it takes a while to catch up. So, you know, if she wants to marry a child or if she wants to stay with a child, I guess that's her choice. But the truth is, I think he needs some growing up, and hopefully she'll have a strong backbone and set some healthy boundaries.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. All right. Well, thank you for that one.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want to talk about now? Some more? We go and do some more emails? Talk about our...
I was thinking about this guy that I used to like, who was really... I mean, now I look back, completely an alcoholic. I didn't see it really then, but... And it's interesting. I think there is that piece, you know, it's not cliche for, you know, when women feel like, or men too, but like, oh, I can change this person. Like, if they love me enough, they'll change, or, you know, they're going to stop the behavior. And it's like, it's, oh my God, it's so difficult because that person will not change unless they want to themselves. They're not going to do it for you. They have to do it for themselves. It's tough. It's a tough situation.
I just had a memory of something that made me feel really bad about myself, so I'm going to air it on
international
radio.
Yeah.
You know, I oftentimes I focus on, oh, the woe is me, poor me, the victim.
Yeah.
You know, I was the victim in that relationship. But there was a time, that I'm kind of relating to this guy, I think it was in my, I'm going to say, early to mid-20s.
Okay.
And went on a ski trip, met some friends up in the Northern Cal area, and then we drive to Tahoe. And my friend that was a couple, and then a guy that I was seeing, we were all driving together. We ended up getting stuck in the Donner Pass.
Okay.
Which is very cold, and it was snowing and all that.
Yeah.
Three out of four of us were smokers, cigarette smokers.
Okay.
And I feel really bad now because I was not, I mean, I always thought of myself as a very considerate, courteous person, mm-hmm. but I was being, this guy was really being a jerk. He was such a whiny and complaining guy. And I was like so mad to be trapped in a car and he hated cigarette smokes. We were all smoking in this enclosed.
Poor guy.
This poor guy. Oh. I just feel so bad. Oh. Of course, needless to say, he never wanted to see me again after that.
Was that. Exactly.
It was a terrible ski trip.
Oh my God, that's awful. How long were you guys trapped for?
I think about 9 or 10 hours.
No.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was like on the, like we couldn't drive the car. Like it was like a sheet of ice and it wasn't safe and we were all stuck and oh, I had to pee so badly. It was just awful.
That's a horrible story.
It was a horrible, horrible story.
Oh my God, you poor thing.
Yes. But now I really feel bad for
him. Exactly. So you can relate.
It's just very unkind. So, so the girlfriend of this guy, you know, you don't have to, you don't have to tolerate that. And, you know, it also may force him to grow up. Right? You know, if you set some limits and set some boundaries and he just says no, if she's meaningful enough to him, then he may be inspired.
Yep. Let's hope.
Absolutely. So, call us.
Yeah.
323-203-0815. But in the meantime, let's go on to another one.
Yeah. Dear Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, I seem to get disappointed in others often. My friends tell me I have unrealistic expectations of myself and others, but I think I don't even expect enough. Is it wrong to expect people to do what they say they will do? I'm really considerate and thoughtful of other people, and I just think it's natural to expect the same in others, but it just hasn't been my experience. I find most people to be rude and insensitive. What do you think? I feel like I could have written this email. I'm not even kidding. Like, except for the...
You don't remember that you wrote it?
Yeah, right. No, but it really, like, I mean, it's kind of what we were talking about. I mean, the part, except for the part that I find most people to be rude and sensitive, I don't agree with that. But the rest of it, like, I completely feel the same way. You know, especially the parts, like, I think it's natural to expect the same in others, you know? But, yeah, it's really, really interesting.
Well, it's so in line with what we were talking about earlier, which is why I thought this would be a great email to address, because it is. It's all back to those expectations, you know? And I think there is something to be said about unrealistic expectations. Again, if you have an expectation of somebody that they agreed to, and then they fall short, that's very different than creating what I call behavioral contracts in your own mind that you don't have somebody else sign. I see this in couples all the time. Like, well, because we had dinner on Sunday at 5 o'clock last week, well, apparently we're going to have dinner at 5 o'clock this Sunday, and then I'm all pissed off because I didn't hear from you.
This is so interesting.
But that's a contract I may have made in my own head, but I didn't consult with the other person. So I would ask this person to definitely try to be thoughtful about whether these are expectations you're creating in your own mind.
Yes.
And assuming that other people are going to
abide by them.
Yeah. Because if they don't, of course they're going to seem like they're rude and insensitive. But if they never agreed to it, then you're actually the one who's being unrealistic.
This is very, very true. But now what if in the case that, you know, it was an agreed upon expectation? And you know, she's getting disappointed with that.
I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Why? Mm-hmm. Why was the agreement broken? You know, what came up? Is the person contrite? Are they, do they have a conscience about it?
Yes.
Do they say, I'm sorry? Do they generally say, I'll do better next time? And then you look for patterns. If you see the same pattern in somebody over and over again, then that's probably about their character.
Exactly.
And then, again, I wouldn't trust them with your expectations because or agreements because you're going to get disappointed often.
Maya Angelou once said, when people, now I'm going to mess it up. When people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. Or when people show you who they are, believe them the first time.
Ah, I like it.
You know what I mean? Because it's true. I mean, I'm all for giving people second chances, but a lot of times I feel like you can kind of tell, you know, sort of immediately what kind of person you're dealing with.
But I think it's fair that, you know, life is pretty complicated. People overcommit sometimes.
That's true.
And, you know, we make decisions or things that spur of the moment, maybe peer pressure,
right?
Maybe sometimes people agree to something because they think that that's the good thing to do,
yeah.
but they really haven't thought about whether they're able to fulfill the agreement. And then, you know, I mean, I know I've certainly done that many, many, many times.
Yeah.
What I try to do, though, then is say, okay, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yep.
What I realize is I've overcommitted myself. I'm probably not going to be able to do that.
Yes.
And I'll be extra conscientious the next time I agree to something to make sure I take into account all the other commitments or responsibilities that I have.
That's very true. Yeah. No,
in
I
your
hear
situation
you.
With your friend who you yeah. were talking about, that you
yes.
expected to have some reciprocity
yes.
of something and you didn't get it.
Yes.
And the worst part about it sounds like this person was rude about it.
Very rude.
Right? Not like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, next time. Or didn't call
like,
you and say, I could do it for you tomorrow, or I could
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
No offering at all.
No offering. It was just sort of like, no. Like, it was so bizarre to me. I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. So I think you make a good point.
Just
yeah.
want to make sure that, you know, there's a difference, I think, between characterological, the stuff that's characterological for somebody versus mm-hmm. something that's situational. And, you know,
yes.
we all need to be cut some slack because, you know.
Of something that happens.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a really good way to look at it, too. Yeah. Is this your character or is it a situation?
But I know what you're saying about first impressions and what you see in people, because you remember how many times in your life, I certainly have many of these, you meet somebody and they're on their best behavior and you kind of elevate them to
yes.
a better position than they deserve to be. They
yes.
just happen to, maybe they just got a promotion or something happened mm-hmm. that day, or they just found an extra $500 in a bank
yes.
account, whatever. So they're just being that. But generally, they're actually very grumpy or they're not very nice. And then every time you see them after, you keep going, but I thought you were. And you hold them to that standard only
yes.
to realize that that was the fluke versus how hard it is when you meet somebody who gives you a bad impression
yes.
the first time. And then you don't want to have anything to do with them. But maybe, you know, they've had a really bad day or something. And then you don't even give them any chance at all because you go, wow, what a bitch. Or this person is so obnoxious.
I'm dying because this is very funny. So my husband was working one day. He was totally stressed out. He was working from home. And a new friend that I had made in the neighborhood was coming over with her son to play with my son. And it was raining and she had just walked and, you know, everything. And so she was ringing the bell. I can't remember what had happened. Maybe I was changing my son. So my husband answers the door, but he's on a work call. He's completely stressed out. And he's just, you know, kind of just barely says hi and is just in, you know, that frame of mind. And I could tell she got the worst impression. And I kept thinking, like, oh, my God, no, he's not really like this. Like, please understand, he was on a high-stress call. And it was like, I feel like it took her a couple meetings with him where she finally, you know, was like, okay, cool, that was the fluke. But it is really hard when you get that, you know, first bad impression. Very
That's
tough.
That's the primacy effect, I think it's called, right?
Oh, is that what
I
it is?
So, yeah. Well, first impressions, primacy. Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
Very powerful. And I don't blame her. I mean, if that were me and I met her husband, I'd be like, psh, what an a-hole, you know, like I'm not coming back here, you know, but thank God she gave him another shot.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny. All right. So you are listening to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Our phone number is 323-203-0815.
Here's a really good email. This is right in line with our getting over past relationships. I'm going to read this one. Dear Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, I'm currently in a relationship with a guy who is totally awesome. But I met him right after I had broken up with a boyfriend who I'd been seeing for over 3 years. I ended it because he was a cigarette smoker and he refused to quit. My dad had passed away from lung cancer and I just couldn't see myself accepting this habit that kills. Now it turns out that he quit smoking and he wants to make a go of us again, but I'm already involved with this new guy. The sad thing is, though, I really still am in love with the other guy, but I don't want to hurt the new guy's feelings. Please help. Torn between a past and current lover.
Oh, I like this. It's like a little love triangle.
There's always polyamory.
Oh, God, that's very funny. That's really funny. I mean, but no, but I feel like she's basically saying that she's still in love with the ex. And I think that you need to not only be truthful with yourself, but you need to be truthful with the new guy because it's not fair to him. I mean, what kind of relationship is built on, in a, you know, that's not authentic. And if she's not, you know, really in love with this new guy, then why waste the time? You know, I mean, sure, you enjoy maybe this new guy's company, but if your heart's with somebody else, you got to be with somebody else.
I agree, because it's sometimes we will hang on to somebody just because we don't want to hurt their feelings or we feel like it's not the right thing to do. But in the long run, it hurts them much more because, I mean, really anybody with some self-value is not going to want to be second fiddle to someone else.
Absolutely. Of course. But I think you're right. I mean, I think a lot of people, they hang on because they don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings or also because it's comfortable. But it's so true. It's like the longer that you're staying with that person, the worse it is. Just end it now. And then that person can start a new life. If you really care about that person, then think about it from their perspective. They want to move on and start their life with somebody else.
As words of caution, however, I would say, okay, so he wasn't willing to quit smoking when she was with him.
Uh-huh. Right?
Then he quit smoking and now he's interested. But having been a former smoker myself, most people don't quit once.
Yes.
They quit, they start, they quit, they start. So she'd have to be really careful. Mm-hmm. Not that it isn't worth her time to investigate to see if that's possible. But I'd be a little bit cautious if the quitting has only been for a couple of months. Or what were the conditions under which he decided to quit?
I was thinking that. Yep.
What's his motivation? You know, what's he doing as prevention of relapse, because it's such a tempting habit to go back to when somebody's under stress.
So I was thinking the same thing, like that first fight. Uh-oh, is he going to want to, you know, whip out that cigarette?
Even just to use it against her.
Oh, my God, that's horrible. But you make such a good point. You're right.
It's important to be careful about that.
Yep. It's a very good piece of advice. Yeah.
Have you ever been in this situation, not so much about the smoking, where though you were with somebody, you moved on to someone else, but you still had feelings
for somebody else? A little bit. I'm trying to think. There was one guy, this is so funny, I think I probably mentioned him on the air, in college that I was in love with. Oh, God, he did not treat me well either. And we were kind of like back and forth for, you know, all throughout the years. And finally, I get, you know, somebody else. And then he tells me in a drunken stupor how he really loves me. I'm the one for him. And it was hard because there were still some feelings there for him, but I knew he wasn't right. Thank God I had enough sense. You know, and it was just like the ship has sailed, buddy. You know, like you had your 4 years. Now you tell me I'm with somebody else. But it was good to hear it, I have to say.
Sure.
You know, after all that
time. There.
Yes, it was like, oh, it was great. And thank God I never looked back. I was with the other guy and it was a much better relationship. And, you know, but it was hard. I would still have dreams about that other one. I think because it was just such a bizarre relationship. And we were sort of back and forth for so many years. But what about you? It sounds like you might have had.
Yes, I did. And the long-term on and off boyfriend of my 20s. I mean,
yes.
I hope he's listening.
You know? Exactly. Don't we all?
Say something about him every show.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kidding. Anyway, he was notorious for, we would break up.
Yep.
And I'd you know, be heartbroken. I would finally, you know,
coalesce
inside and kind of pick up the pieces. Humpty Dumpty was broken. And I'd put myself back together and I'd go out and I'd, you know, start dating again. The second, it was like he was on a fox hunt. The second I would like somebody else, he was right there at my doorstep.
Oh my God.
Oh, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I love you so much. I can't live without you. Marry me.
No.
Yes. Three proposals and three reneges.
Are you kidding?
I'm not
kidding. He reneged?
Yes. Every time.
No.
Yes.
Oh my God. This is horrible.
It was horrible.
I gotta meet this man. Give him a piece of my mind. Did you ever find out? Like, do you look on his Facebook page and see if he's...
I can't find him. It's really interesting because he was pretty prominent. I mean, he was climbing the ladder of the venture capitalists.
Oh, really?
Mortgage banking and stuff. And he was doing really well. I mean, we were about the same age and he was really climbing the ladder and very successful. But I did have some sweet revenge because about, I'm going to say, maybe 10 years later.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, there was still contact information. There were some other friends that we were all friends together that I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And we thought it would be fun to just give him a call
if
we could find him. And we did. And he answered the phone. And it was so reminiscent of the old days. What are you doing? Playing basketball with the guys, drinking beer.
No.
Oh, you in a relationship? No. Are you married? No.
Yeah.
Did you ever get married? No. You know, so it's like, it was so good to see that I had made the right choice.
And it wasn't by you.
And finally, I had just told him, I said, I'm not doing this ever again.
Yeah.
We're really done.
Yes.
We're over, 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 over. He was, for that time period, he was just like devastated. He would show up at my door.
Really?
Notes on my car. I mean, he was just, it was almost like he was stalking me because he couldn't believe that I would actually leave him.
Exactly.
It really had nothing to do with wanting me. It was an ego thing.
Completely.
Where, what? You're going to break up with me?
Yes.
You betcha. You betcha, you mother.
Exactly. I remember there was this guy, too, that was kind of like my first love, I guess, right after college. We were dating not even that long, and he had talked about marriage, too, and he was like, I want to have a baby. He was 10 years older. I was like, a baby? I just graduated. Like, I'm not ready. You know,
a baby.
Yeah, exactly. But he was ready, and, you know, we talked about marriage, and I was kind of like, well, I'm not quite there, but, you know, we'll see. And I graduated school, and 2 weeks later, he ended it. And I was like,
why?
I don't know. It was so bizarre. I don't know if he had a commitment issue. I don't know if he was secretly gay. I don't know. It was a bizarre, bizarre, bizarre situation. And I was just completely devastated. And so I ran into him about, I don't know, must have been about 2 years ago. And he said to me, I made the biggest mistake of my life.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. And he said, I don't know what I was thinking. I was so worried that, you know, you at 22 were, you know, going to feel like you regretted just dating, you know, me and didn't have time to kind of sow your wild oats and kind of all this stuff. And, but yeah, it was really crazy. He really kind of put it out there that he, you know, made this mistake. And I kind of had to, you know, then I felt badly and I was like, look, you know what? We weren't together for a reason. Like, you can't look back. I mean, he was kind of ending his marriage. He ended up getting married. And I could tell his marriage wasn't great. And so I think, you know, he idealized our relationship a lot more than it was. So I kind of had to put him back. I'm like, look, you know what? We were very different. We were. So, but yeah, it was kind of nuts.
Wow.
I know.
That's a good story.
Every girl wants to hear it. So
sure.
I'm saying it for all the ladies.
Sure. Well, obviously he had a hard time getting over you, and I can understand why, because you are so spectacular.
Oh, I love you. You're so cute.
Thank you. What did David say about all
that? You know, it's so funny. If David had come to me, my husband David, if he'd come to me and told me the story, I would have been like, that bitch, screw her, you know? And this is like such, it's just like, so David, he says, he's right. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. It was so sweet. Because the old boyfriend said, your husband's the luckiest guy in the world. So I told, of course, I told my husband that. And he said, he's right. I so am. And he did make the biggest mistake. He's like, you know, but I'm happy he did because I found you. Like, he was so sweet about it. Like, versus me, I would have been like, that bitch, like, let me see her, you know, tell her who's boss, you know. But he was cool about it. It was pretty
funny.
That's
so sweet. That's, I can see him.
Can't you see him saying that?
He's so gentle.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
He does adore you.
Oh, he's a good man.
I'm lucky. Yeah. Except when he has the flu.
Oh, God. I told Dr. Deborah, when my husband's sick, he's very difficult. He's quite needy. So we were discussing that. And it's really funny because I've kind of gathered a bunch of girlfriends who all agree that when their husband is sick, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if, and you know what? I might be at fault because I've got two boys now and I baby them. So I don't know if the mom babies, you know, the son when they're sick and all the poor baby and they get used to that. But my husband certainly did. So yeah.
That's funny because Christopher's the opposite. He doesn't get sick very often at all. But when he does, he's just like a bear.
No.
He goes and hibernates.
Oh, really? He doesn't want to be bothered.
No, he doesn't want to be bothered.
You're lucky.
He just goes to sleep. He's like literally like a cat or a bear. He crawls into
bed,
cuddles up, and just he just
doesn't want to be. Now, what if you come in? You're like, oh, do you need something? I mean, he's just appreciative, but he's not like, help me.
No, none of the help me stuff. No, he's just like stoic. You know,
that's so cool. Have him talk to David.
I actually feel insulted because I'm a nurturer.
Really?
Yes, I'm a huge
nurturer.
So
it's hard for you. Oh, I could see that.
I mean, at least let me bring you tea or something.
Oh my God, no. Enjoy the time off.
Oh, no.
Come live with me. You'll see my experience and you'll be happy to go back to him.
I think that's because I wasn't nurtured at all when I was sick as a child.
Really?
Not nurtured.
You weren't.
No.
See, my mom was very good about
except
that.
Except for cream of wheat. My mother did make me cream of wheat.
That's so cute. Yeah, that's a good comfort food. Yeah, I like cream of wheat. But my mom was really good about that. So maybe that's, I took some of that because I'm pretty nurturing too.
Yeah. You're a good mom.
Oh.
So, yes, your husband's wonderful.
Oh.
Well, you know what? We don't really have time for another
email,
but I do want to tell everybody again about my website.
Please
go visit my website because I'm so excited about it. And there's a form you can fill out to be on my contact list. And, you know, I'm certainly interested also in any kind of feedback on
it.
You know, it is new. And it is drdebraonline.com, drdebraonline.com. And it's fun, and we love hearing from you on our show. So you can send us emails. And Kelly, tell us a little bit about your stuff too.
Sure. So I am at Neighborhood Counseling Center. My website is www.kellymiller.com. That's KELLIMILLER.com. And I have a book out called Professor Kelly's Guide to Finding a Husband. It's about, you know, really finding the right guy for you and seeing those red flags in a relationship so you don't make any mistakes.
Wonderful. So, yeah. And have you done any new commercials or any acting things we get to
the
see?
The acting thing, you know, it's funny. I had a audition today for a lactose-free commercial because I'm lactose intolerant.
Ah.
So we'll see how that goes. Keep your fingers crossed. Say a prayer. So that would be really fun to do that. Yeah, and that's it. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, wonderful. You've been listening to Dr. Debra and
Coach Kelly.
And we love hearing from you. So send us some emails for next week's show. You know what? I think relationships are always fun.
Yes. So let's continue part two of relationships. We could always talk about that.
For sure. Okay.
Right, sounds great.
Take care.
You all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.